Hi there. Steve Arterburn here for New Life Live with Mylon Yurkovich and Dr. Jill Hubbard. This is our Focus Friday program, and today we're talking about, well, it's a controversial topic. It's one that's difficult to deal with, but it's the topic of homosexuality. And if you'd like to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000.
I really enjoy your show.
Hi, you guys are the best.
Well, thank you.
Thanks. What a combination of wisdom and fun.
When we finally did it, and he walked out into the living room and said, well, I know it's not my birthday, and sat down on the couch.
Oh, I thought you said he had died. He divorced 10 years ago.
Dave, it was Dave's fault. Another name for firstborn is crash test dummy. And, you know, because we're learning a lot of stuff as parents.
There's a horse and there's a cart.
This is not a three-year-old problem with your husband. This could have started in junior high school. We don't know.
See, right now we like each other, but we're not really being the kind of person that we would want to be to make it work. You follow me?
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Mylon Yurkovich. Hello, Mylon.
Hey, Steve. How are you?
Good, and Mylon's going to be doing a How We Love Our Kids workshop up in Berkeley, October the 22nd. If you want more info on that, you can go to our website. And Dr. Jill Hubbard. Hello, Jill.
Hi, Steve.
Great to be with you. And
good to be here.
Yeah, always love being with you two guys. And today is, it's a tough issue here today in the Christian community, the issue of homosexuality. And what is it, and what causes it, and what do you do about it? Everybody seems to have a different opinion, and it's easy to say something that alienates a ton of people. It's hard to say anything in this area that doesn't alienate someone. But I think the Christian response to homosexuality, same-sex attraction, is so different than the world that you can't help but upset someone.
Well, and what you just said were two kind of different things. You said homosexuality and same-sex attraction. Those are two different things.
Well, explain that.
Well, I can have a propensity or an attraction, but that doesn't mean I have to act on it.
Right.
You see, so I could be attracted to somebody that's not my wife, but I can't act on it. You know,
yeah.
It's whatever your propensities are, we must acknowledge the truth of that, perhaps, but it doesn't mean I'm a homosexual until I act out on it and choose to adopt that as a lifestyle. I might have a propensity that is something I need to acknowledge. And similar and akin to the concept of every man's battle, it's going to be perhaps a lifetime battle, whatever that propensity is. Mm-hmm. We're all broken, so we have broken propensities.
Yeah, people say, well, how could I be made this way if it's wrong to be made the way I am? And it's not an exact parallel, but it's pretty exact. And that is that, you know, men, we're made to wander, and we have to control that.
Well, the question is made or mm-hmm. understanding that I'm a broken creature,
right.
I'm in a fallen world, and nothing works right. My mind doesn't work right.
There's a lot
my emotions,
of imperfection
there's
in this
tremendous
world.
Yeah, and does so what people do is they credit God. God made me this way, as opposed to I am a product of a broken world, and I am distorted. My lenses are broken in some way.
Yeah.
And I must control those lenses for a lifetime as I come to the cross.
Mm-hmm. And the choices we make along the way lead us down different paths.
That's right.
Right? Because yeah. we all have our deficits. We all come into the world, and then as we move through it, we make choices, and we compromise, and we fall short of what God intended in the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess what you're saying is that Adam was not tempted. Well, first of all, there were no other women to tempt him, but In the other world, maybe he's the term every
maybe
man.
Maybe he was tempted by animals. Who knows?
You just never know. Yeah, but it was a perfect place until they messed up, and now we live in the remains of their imperfection, the residue of that messing up, and things happen. We'll have a lot of different opinions as soon as we get back from this break. 1-800-229-3000 to join us.
Thank you.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and a couple of things. Many of you know my middle brother, Jerry, died from AIDS, and his testimony before he died is on our website. The Coral Ridge Ministries came out and did a session with him that they broadcast on their program. And you can hear that by going to our website, newlife.com. Also, at one of our programs that we did, someone asked the question of me, is it something you're born with or not? And the answer I gave is also there on the website at newlife.com. But right now, let's go to Janice from Chicago, Illinois, listening on Sirius Satellite Radio. Hi, Janice.
Hi. I just have a question. I'm a newer Christian, and my sister and I are very close, and she was married for 12 years, was divorced. I was the person that she came to cry on my couch during her divorce.
You were with her in her pain.
I'm sorry?
I said you were with her in her pain.
Yes. And she's started a lesbian lifestyle.
Okay.
So subsequent to her divorce, this is how she's living now?
Yes, and she married this person. And I love them both. They're very nice people. They're dear to me. But I just don't know how to be close to them now.
Well, what does that mean? Do you question?
You mean since you've become a Christian? Is that what you're
yes.
saying? Okay.
And I don't want to sound judgmental. It's just, it's very hard for me. I don't know, we're not as close as we used to be, and I don't know how to talk to her anymore.
Well, you know, Janice, you can't be as close to her as you used to be, see? Because when she was in deep pain, you were her person she came to. And that creates closeness and bonding. And so now she's healed at some level and has taken up a relationship with somebody else that in some respects has replaced you as a person's, you know, to be a companion, a shoulder to cry on, somebody to talk with, somebody to process with. But I think what's important is your sister a Christian?
No.
Okay.
No, she's not.
Okay, so very commonly, I see women that have been hurt by mm-hmm. males, sexually abused, abused, misused, victimized, traumatized,
yep.
and they yet God created us as people who desire companionship. You see, He made us
right.
not as isolated creatures, but as companion creatures. And so, what happens is that if we're hurt, we will seek refuge, but we will often try to look for somebody with whom we can find refuge, and with whom we can also find safety and. Men, quite honestly, in many cases, aren't safe. And if a person's had a bad experience, we can understand why emotionally they would pick somebody who would be more safe, yet a companion and a friend. So that doesn't mean it's right. I'm just saying we understand it. Mm-hmm. Now,
right.
What we have
and
to...
And I understand that
okay,
part of, so, her, of this relationship.
So the key thing is, Janice, is before she can ever understand God's ultimate order for healing, repair, and relationship, she has to first enter into a relationship with Christ. So I think the first piece of information that we're told to tell anybody is the gospel. And that's why the evangelists in the early church, all they did was preach the gospel. They didn't go around correcting people. They just preached the gospel. Once a person believed, then there was a different set of instructions, which is what 1 Corinthians is all about, Romans is all about, all these different instructional pieces once a person becomes a Christian. Jill, what were you going to say?
You're talking, Mylon, focusing on her soul.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And the saving of her soul
right.
versus focusing on her lifestyle.
Right.
It's kind of handing that part over to God.
Well, and doing what God tells us to do first,
yes.
which is to ultimately the most important thing is a person's eternal salvation.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's the most important
right.
thing, that
right.
I be saved.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, apart from being a Christian, well, Christian or non-Christian alike, we all have that hunger and that longing to be perfectly loved.
Mm-hmm.
And we all think that we can somehow attain it if we mm-hmm. just find the right person.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're in a vulnerable state and someone comes along, like we've described here, and is loving and embracing and moves it into a realm of sexuality, it can feel all-encompassing.
Sure.
It becomes like that merger experience of almost an all-perfect love.
Mm-hmm.
But we know it's false. It's deceptive. So and her heart is really hungering for something, and God is what would fill that.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I really like the direction you've gone there, Mylon. And what's going to happen in this relationship is what happens in every relationship. There's difficulty. There's struggle. And from time to time, she's going to be more needy of you or responsive to you. And I think your job is to live out Christ in front of her, and hopefully she'll respond when those moments are right for you to talk about your faith.
Right, and that's what that's the way I've been living. It's just very hard for me right now. I'm getting married on Saturday, mm. and I didn't have anyone stand up because of this, mm. and I didn't want conflict, you know, with the family.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. So I guess I'm just...
You're sad. You miss your sister. It
yeah.
sounds like
well,
you miss
I think
that
it's,
relationship.
It's really significant, the question that Mylon asked. Is she a believer? And, you know, it is your... She's not a believer, and it's your wedding.
So. Right. And well, none of my family are believers, you know, and so I have a mission. But this is the... A tough one for me.
Right.
Is my sister.
But I'm just saying that she's not a believer standing up saying, hey, this is the right thing to do. This is the
no.
right way to go.
No.
She's a non-believer, and there is a difference there in how we react
right.
to that.
Right.
I would hate for you to alienate her with your wedding.
No, and I'm not. It's just I'm just struggling with, I know it's going to take time. I'm just struggling with this in-between time.
Yeah.
I know that, you know, it's going to get better.
Well, I like your thinking, but it may not. I mean, we can't say I know it's going to get better.
Right.
We don't know what's going to happen.
Well, you know, I think it's going to get easier for me as I become a growing Christian.
Sure.
I know it's going to get easier for me. It's just, it's hard for me right now. I feel a lot of alienation from all of my family.
Hmm. Because of what?
Just, you know, you kind of walk into a room when they're having a family get together and it's like, oh, there's Janice, you know, she's changed. She's mm-hmm. different.
Oh, yeah, because now you're a Christian.
Thing.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
sure.
She's not sitting around the bonfire drinking.
Right.
You know.
Right. So there is pressure, and now all of a sudden you have an added pressure of a sister who's, And I think what's really important is the world lumps all of this into, well, I'm gay. And I prefer to say something different. A lot of times people choose an alternate lifestyle because they're reacting against another lifestyle. I've known people who have chosen to have relationships with other men because they had such a bad experience with their moms. They don't ever want to be around a woman again the rest of their life, and they choose a lifestyle separate. But they say, well, see, I'm born gay. And I go, no, no, you picked a lifestyle that was reactive to a place of pain. And we must understand the nature of why we make our choices, not lump them into categories that may not be accurate.
Right.
So I would just empathize with why she's picked a safer person and just indicate to her that, you know what, we all need a salvation in Christ. We all need to come to the cross. Yeah. After we come to the cross, then we all have dealing we have to do with God, because some of us, all of us, have to lay down some propensity.
Right. Well, I hope that's helpful to you. And let me send you Dave Stoops' book, People in the Bible Uncensored. I hope you'll like that. I like going out on a limb, and I don't like cutting it off, but I might be. But I want to go out on a limb here, and I want to say this. In my experience in dealing with this over the years and with my brother and the people that I've met through him, there is something that it seems that a person is born with, and that is a propensity to be different in a way that causes rejection in many, many circumstances. Not 100%. But oftentimes, you will see someone who is more sensitive or more artistic or whatever it is, and maybe a father can't relate to that, or maybe other kids can't relate to that, and the person feels alienated and feels more rejection and feels different because they are different. But that doesn't mean that to resolve that difference or to find their place that it has to be sexualized.
I think that's an excellent comment, Steve, and I don't think you're going far out on a limb at all. I think a lot of people get isolated. And Jill, what are your thoughts on that?
Oh, absolutely, and that feeling different. I mean, at certain developmental ages, you want to fit in. You don't want to be different. That's not something that people want to embrace, and so it can create a lot of conflict for
a
person.
Well, and the world has found this to be very attractive. They'll say to the people, they'll even have on-campus school clubs, do you feel different? It could be that you're gay. So come celebrate with us.
Normal developmental angst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you feel different? And then they will say, well, you're probably gay. And that is the only other category you're given. Well, not that you're artistic, creative, and you haven't fit in because you're different that way.
Right.
Like you said, Steve, now we need to act out on that sexuality.
Yeah. And all children at a certain age, when they're discovering their sexual identity, will question this, you know, okay, I'm a girl or I'm a boy, and who do I like? And so there can be some questioning. So normal sorting that out doesn't necessarily mean, oh, I was born this way.
Yeah.
Nor does normal sexual exploration among children.
Absolutely.
Suggest that because you touched another boy or girls touched girls, that means you're gay. No, that's something that everybody, well, not everybody, but many people do as a part of their normal developmental process of broken people.
Right.
Broken people again.
True, we got to throw that in.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, and we also know that little girls, the first love relationships you have after family are best friends. You know,
right?
Another girlfriend who becomes your companion. And so, you know, and almost like an infatuation, how girls get attached to their best friend. But that's the precursor that leads on to then them switching that to the opposite sex.
Right. Okay, let's go to Mary from Minneapolis, Minnesota. Hello, Mary. She listens online.
Hello. Oh, my goodness. Hello, I'm so happy you're dealing with this issue. It's been consuming me for about a month. We had a 21-year-old nephew live with us all summer, doing an internship, and a real sharp kid, really wonderful, outstanding kid. And after he went home, he came out to his parents as gay. And this happened just a month ago. It's been really hard because we all feel like he was surrounded by the dream of a wonderful family, and he had a wonderful family. He has a wonderful family. But this is the hard part. He's a brand new believer, and I don't think he's well grounded in scriptures, but he really loves Jesus, and my heart aches for the kid. I've been studying a lot of things about gay Christians and their lifestyles, and I have some questions.
Okay. Well, we've got some music going there, so we're going to take a break. We come back, we'll deal with those questions or whatever you want to deal with. You are listening to New Life Live, and we're doing a Friday-focused program on homosexuality. So you can call us and talk with us, but right now we're going to take a break and come back right after this.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this. But I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
We are back, talking with Mary, and a family member is a Christian, new Christian, and involved in the homosexual world, and you have some questions about that, Mary.
Yes. I don't know that he's involved in the homosexual world. I don't know that he's acted out on this at all. He has come out to his parents and his friends. His friends are largely wonderful Christians, and they're just saying, you know, so what? They're not. I don't know what else they're saying. They're just saying, It's not that big of a deal or something because of the sort of era we're living in. Kind of finding that to be the case with the 20-somethings, they're not that totally concerned. My question is, I've been listening to stuff on the Gay Christian Network, and they have, now I'm learning new terminology, the Side A and the Side B gay Christians, and the Side A gay Christians believe that Romans 1 is misinterpreted by the church, and it's really only referring to homosexual activity done in conjunction with idol worship. The Side B gay Christian believes that homosexuality is, it's how they were made, that's who they are, but to serve a holy God, they cannot act on it. These people are getting lots and lots of support in support groups and conferences and all kinds of stuff, Tony Campolo and his wife speak to them, and they're online speaking. They interestingly enough, disagree with each other. Tony has a traditional view of homosexuality, but he's warm toward the dilemma that the church has created by not embracing them in terms of worship.
Right. Okay. So the question for us would be what?
Oh boy. Well, how do you guys see this issue? It's very hard to see it that it's acceptable to act out on it. I cannot see it that way, but I listen to these testimonies. These people really believe that's what Scripture says. It's okay.
Yeah. Well, there are a lot of very, very genius interpreters of the Scripture who don't agree with that. And what all I can tell you is that a person who fully accepts Christ is on a journey. I know one gentleman that accepted Christ and a year later was moved by the Holy Spirit to stop anything homosexual that was going on in his life. Now, that may not ever happen for somebody else. They may never be open to that. But I believe if you go back to the foundation of Scripture, if you look at one of the basic fundamentals of Scripture, it is that we are to be faithful to one person in marriage. That we're to be sexual with only one person in marriage. And that marriage is made up of a man and a woman, male and female. Now, if you start there, then if that is true, if that's biblical truth, if that's what God intended, if that's what's taught in other places in the Bible, then we've got to start there, and that's our foundation. And for me, when I start there, I don't see a problem of understanding what is the right thing to do. And that doesn't mean it's the easy thing to do for everybody. But if I go this direction that they're going, then I can apply that to other things. I could apply that to animals or to children. Whatever. But I think we've got to get back to, you know, the basic relationship that's described in the Bible that honors God is a marriage between a man and a woman, and to be faithful and monogamous in that relationship.
Well, and Steve, along those same lines, there are people who try to make a case that it's okay to have sex before marriage.
Definitely.
Whether heterosexual or homosexual.
Right.
That's okay because it's so hard to resist. So if God made me this way, then it must be good. And if it feels good, it must be okay. But we are taught that our bodies are a temple and we are supposed to flee sexual immorality. And so outside of the context, Steve, what you are describing, that would fit regardless of what our chosen orientation is.
Yeah. But Mary, there have been distinct groups who have been interpreting Scripture in this way for, you know, years.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. Can I ask you if I have an opportunity to speak to this young man? Because he's very concerned about what my husband and I have to say about this, but he has not contacted us. If I have an opportunity to speak to this, what would be a tender way to approach it? Should I talk about reparative therapy? Should I say, where's your heart at on this? I sure don't want to just jump down his throat, but
well, first of all, you've got to acknowledge that the desires that he has, the urges that he experienced, that those are real.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't make that up.
Right.
That came from somewhere. And often, as I've said, it comes from rejection.
Mm-hmm.
But to acknowledge, I know that these needs and these feelings that you have and this sense that there's an identity here, but I really don't believe that a person has to sexualize this to find fulfillment in life, that there's another way.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. I'm glad you called.
Thank you for your thoughtful reflection, Mary.
All right. We'll be back right after this for more New Life Month.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places. And New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Artimer here with Mylon Yurkovich, Dr. Jill Hubbard. And we're taking on that firestorm issue of homosexuality. And to continue that, let's go to Sean from Cincinnati, Ohio. Watches, listens on Twitter. Listens on Twitter. All right. Hello, Sean.
How you doing, Steve? I actually listened to the radio, but I just seen your Twitter post today, so okay. I had to call in.
All right.
My roommate is gay. I'm bisexual. And we both attend church, and I've been married and divorced now. I have had relationships with guys and girls. My thing is like, first off, like, I don't know if I should pursue a relationship with a guy, and I know I shouldn't, but then when it presents itself, you know, I guess I have those feelings that overwhelm myself, and, you know, I struggle with, you know, obviously the fact that I do go to church and I believe in God and everything, but I know what His Word says, and I know you don't, you know, get good to get God. You know, you get God and then you get good. But I don't want to, like, go backwards and everything, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah.
I guess my question is, you know, can someone leading a homosexual lifestyle go to heaven?
Can someone leading?
Leading or leaving?
I guess living or lead a homosexual lifestyle.
Yeah. Well, I think you have to look at a theological question, which is a lot of people are really confused about the theological issue of do you go to heaven if you sin? And a lot of people say, well, if you're sinning, you don't go to heaven. As if you're in the middle of a sin and you have a heart attack and die, then you don't go to heaven. But if you were in the middle of a sin, you didn't have the heart attack, and you lived and you said you were sorry, then you could go to heaven. So it'd be a matter of luck or something like that to get into heaven. I believe that we're all involved in sin in some degree. And so I would say that a believing homosexual who is confused on this issue would be you could go to heaven. Now, the question would be, how's your life here on earth? Are you experiencing a relationship with God that is growing, or is this something that's standing in the way? Or is this something that the Holy Spirit is telling you, hey, you need to go the other direction. You need to give this up. I know it feels good, and you feel accepted and welcome and warm, but if the Holy Spirit is moving you the other direction, you need to respond to the Holy Spirit. Mylon, Jill, what do you think?
Well, there's a cool passage in Scripture, and you know what, Sean, that's a fabulous question you're asking. Thank you for asking it. There's this neat passage, and if you read 1 John, the whole book, just read 1 John. What it says is, if we truly are saved, there will be resulting changes in our life that will mean we do not continue down paths of sin. Now, the Bible says when we come to Christ, we're a newborn babe. You know, we're like a baby, and then we become like a child. And the Bible says that children in Ephesians 4, spiritual children, are tossed here and there by every wind of doctrine and craftiness and deceitful scheming. They're easily picked off by incorrect theology, world sweeping tides and currents, and so. But a mature person, 1 John 2, a strong person is strong. The word of God abides in them. They've overcome the evil one. Now, Sean, we all have to say no to something once we come to know Christ. You talk about getting in close proximity to an individual, and you say, now I'm tempted. I don't know what to do with myself. I'm in close proximity with women every day. I have to say no to myself every day. I have to remind myself, I have my 40th year anniversary. My wife is my best friend. There's a lot of beautiful people in this world. I can't say yes to that because God says no to that. So I choose to obey God rather than my flesh. And that is a discussion that the Bible is filled with. What do I do with the flesh? What do I do when I'm looking at a beautiful person and go, that person's beautiful? I have to say no. I have to stop right there and just say, well, they're beautiful. I must stop right there. And this is what I like to call, instead of this conversation being about homosexuality, I'd rather have the discussion on what I would call holy sex. Because what about a person who's an elder in a church and having an affair? What about a pastor who's having a heterosexual affair with the choir director? See, I've got one of those in my office right now. You know, how does that work? You see, because all of us have to learn to say no to our propensities. And what about the molestation of children and young adolescents when they go see a pastor or a priest, and they're very cute and they're lovable, and you just want to put your arm around them and hug them, and then it turns into something sexual because of my inability to say no to myself.
We
hate having limitations.
Right? We don't want to be told what to do.
Absolutely.
Or that we can't.
That's right.
That's right.
We just want to say yes to ourselves.
Right.
And here's the thing, Sean. You cannot ever base behavior that's honoring God on a scale of whether or not it feels good.
I definitely agree with that, for sure.
So,
well, and you know, part of the consequence of sin is that it's alluring, right? That once we venture down a path, it almost calls our name. And so it's like, you know, before Adam and Eve ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they didn't know about good and evil, right? It was all good. But after they ate, they knew. And so they were more aware of things and opened up that door to be more and more enticed. And so I think when we open up the door to sin, we're opening up a vulnerability to be more and more enticed, which is why God tells us no. He's trying to protect us from that struggle.
You know, it's really interesting. You're right, Jill. We don't like that. But, no. You know, the Ultimate Seeker Church was the non-Christian church in the days of Israel. And the non-Christian religious worship that was in the early church. They had temple prostitutes. They had pagan a sexual worship. I call that the ultimate secret church, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You come here and you can have sex, you see? Mm-hmm. And so sex has always been distorted, and you can have your choice with the temple prostitutes. You can have your choice of whatever, whoever you want. Mm-hmm. And this is
have a few concubines.
This is our form of worship, you see? And God, in speaking to all those people, 1 Corinthians is dedicated to addressing a group of people where that was the norm in Corinth. And he's saying, now, you've had all this sexual liberty and licentiousness. You've had license to do whatever mm-hmm. you wanted. Now you came to the cross, and God is calling you to run away from sexual sin. No other sin so closely and clearly affects a body as this one does. For sexual immorality is a sin against your own body. Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to God yourself, but God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God in your body. So Sean, you have to limit yourself with certain propensities. I have to limit myself with other propensities. We all have right. to limit ourselves.
I find that sometimes, like, I guess part of it is like a crowd effect, you know, if just like a church or kind of group, you know, you get around certain people, it becomes more acceptable.
Well, of course, Bible says bad company corrupts good morals. Mm-hmm. Don't be deceived. You hang around with the people. You know, the Emmy Awards just had an actress who was gay who hosted the Emmys, you know, the recently. And she, you know, talked about a gay agenda, and she talked about it. And even the sitcoms and even the cartoon comedies and sitcoms that are on TV feature gay people in them. Mm-hmm. So the idea of us getting bombarded with an acceptance of this, the Bible says in the latter days people will accumulate for themselves teachers who will tickle their ears. They will tell them what they want to hear. And this is a show that tries to not do that, Steve. Jill, we try not to tickle people's ears. We try and tell people what God's Word says.
Yeah, and you know that crowd effect, a compulsive gambler really mm-hmm. feels comfortable in a casino.
Or the alcoholic in a bar.
You don't have a lot of people saying, hey, is this really good for you or not? You've got a lot of people saying, absolutely, we have a right to gamble. And I know that that is different than the identity and all of that. But if you start looking at trying to find the best for your life and what makes sense for that best, I think the Bible is very, very consistent. It is not confusing at all.
Right. If you turn from idols and make God your focus, you have to keep your eyes on God in order to combat this.
All right. We'll take a break. We'll come back. More of New Life Live. Go to the website. You can hear that interview with my brother. You can hear me answer the question about this in one of our sessions. And I hope that will be helpful to you. We'll be back right after this. Stay tuned for New Life Live.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Our final caller here, Angela from Louisville, Kentucky. WFIA is the station. Hi, Angela.
Steve, I give you my condolences on the loss of your brother to AIDS.
Thank you.
I'm sure it was very, very hard on you
it
and
was.
Your whole family.
It really was.
And I'm sure it still is hard, even it after is. Many years. I give you my condolences.
Thank you.
The long and the short of it is, I have been married over 30 years. Prior to marrying my husband, he's my only husband, I'm his only wife, he had told me that he was gay. I was devastated because I had really liked him, and I was having severe problems in my life, and I was really starting to have problems living alone. I was diabetic, and I was losing my sight, and my mother had told me that she did not want me to come live with her. She was afraid they would take her house for my medical bills, which is BS, but I got the word from her. And he came into my life through his best friend. Then he told me this. I'm like, well, you know, having a hard time winning these days. So I decided I would just go on. Well, he calls me the next day and said he wanted to come over and talk with me. I figured, oh, great, now I'm never going to see my friend because his best friend became a good friend of mine. He comes over, he says, I've changed my mind. Oh, well, okay. Well, things worked out. We got married 4 months later. We've been married for 30 years. Things went well. Our sex life was fine, and he did not seem to display any problems of homosexuality. However, he is extremely shy, and I think actually suffers from a detachment problem from when he was a newborn infant. His mother said it was amazing that he had ever survived his first year of life. She didn't know what to do. Both of his parents were only children. They didn't know what to do with this poor child. And he would just sit in the crib and he'd look at his mother, and his mother would look at him. Breaks my heart.
Yeah. Okay, and so we're running out of time.
Okay, so about 10 years ago, we were having marital problems. My husband was having some health problems, essentially quit sleeping with me. I now look in the mirror, and I see someone who's looking like a cat, and I think I'm turning into a cougar. He, I think, would like to change. He has said about this situation, but it will take me to get it started. He is not one to take risks, he's not one to deal with problems. Where do I go? How do I find the right type of counseling for him? Because this isn't my job to solve. It's his problem.
Yeah, okay. Well, you know,
does he want to stay married to you?
Yes.
Okay.
He loves me.
Then what you need to do, it is your problem, because you know every problem that my wife has is partly my problem and vice versa. So I would get into couples counseling, because you see, when people get into stress, they revert to their defaults. That's why people call old boyfriends from college and old boyfriends. Mm-hmm. They default back into what they think is ideal. What you were saying, Jill, about how we long for an ideal. Mm-hmm. And ideal isn't possible, but we think it is.
Right.
We dream of it being that
instead
way.
Instead of dealing with what is currently going on and why it's going on.
So 10 years ago, you go, well, we love each other and we've had a great sex life. But 10 years ago, he stopped sleeping with me because we started having problems in our marriage. That's what I would address, you see.
I see.
Start there.
How do I find someone who has what I think of that special touch that is going to, because of the problem of homosexuality. It's not just marital problems.
Well, why don't you call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and tell them what you're interested in. And
So you're saying she shouldn't Google special touch?
No.
I don't think so, because if you Google special touch,
you might get more than you bargained for.
Way more than you bargained for.
Okay.
Absolutely right.
But I think that we've got a quite a few in the network there in Louisville that I think you'll be able to find someone. And the way you find someone is that you get a recommendation, and then you go to that person, and if it's obvious that this is not going to be helpful, then you find another person.
Well, see, and they need to specialize in couples. There's a lot of therapists that don't specialize in couples, and they're excellent at what they do, but you put two people in the room, and they don't have a lot of experience. So really look for a couples therapist that gets emotions, isn't just cognitive, but understands cognitive and emotional issues and how we are driven by both.
All right. I'm glad you called. Hold on. I'm going to send Walking Into Walls to you. You know, I've quoted this so many times, but it just is one of my favorite lines from the Bible or scriptures, from Isaiah 44, where Isaiah is talking about people that are deluded and trusting something that really isn't trustworthy at all. And he says that they can't bring themselves, they cannot bring themselves to ask, could this be a lie? And that's my challenge to anybody who thinks that the Bible has been misinterpreted or whatever is, well, do some of that work on yourself and ask, could this, what I believe about this being okay, or this is the way I was born, I have no choices, could it be a lie? And could there be this other life, not an easy life, but a fulfilling life that might be waiting there for you? I have two brothers that are homosexual. I've looked at this issue over and over again, and I tell you, I have not veered one iota from what I believe to be true about the Bible, and that is that if we have sex outside of marriage, we're in trouble. And if we get married, and it's not a man-woman marriage, it is not honoring of God. It's just not his best. And anybody can turn away from something that isn't the best and look to what God has intended for you. And I believe that is a life of fulfillment and connection to God and connection to other believers. But it's a very, very tough issue. And if you have further comments you want to make about it, you can do that at newlife.com in the comment section.
You know, Steve, you and I recorded a New Life perspective on this topic.
We did.
Some months ago, and that's also available on our website.
What's it called, Mylon?
Holy Sex.
Holy Sex, okay.
Because it's not just about the homosexual struggle. It's about all
of
us struggling to hold our sexuality into a place that pleases God. And it presupposes that we all start from a place that isn't doing that. Mm-hmm. So I don't care what your starting point is. We all have to come to a point. And so that's called Holy Sex, Steve, and we could order that on our website too.
Yep. I think it's called homosexuality, but it does deal with holy sex. So I just hope and pray that if you're connected to someone who is dealing with this particular issue, that first of all, we see our mandate to love another person and that we not alienate that person, but that we're willing at the appropriate time to tell that person what we believe. We don't want to endorse or excuse, but we want to be sure that they know, above all else, that they are loved by God, they're loved by us, and that we understand the difficulty here. I would hate this to be an issue I'm dealing with society, all of society, so motivated for a person who might struggle or have a thought to move in the direction of sexualized homosexuality. I'm grateful that it's not the issue that I deal with, and I really feel for anybody that is coming up against this. If you need some help, we are available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'd love to find a counselor for you or a resource. Mylon mentioned Holy Sex. I think the name of the perspective is Homosexuality. It's the New Life perspective that he and I did together. And if you can help this ministry, we sure do need your help at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEWLIFE is the number to call if you can help us. There's somebody always there who cares about you and wants the best for you. Just like my two friends, Dr. Jill Hubbard and Mylon Yurkovich, they care about you, they want the best for you. And we'll be doing this again next time here on New Life Live. God bless you. Thanks to all of you who listen and support. We're so grateful. See you. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.